Good day, everyone. My name is John Nelson, and I'm the head bookkeeper of the Colson Packet Company, the steamboat line in Yankton, Dakota Territory. Now, that isn't a particularly exciting job, but before that, I worked on Missouri River steamers for almost 40 years. So folks always seem to be asking me about life on the Missouri. They think there's some sort of adventure, excitement, and romance about life on the river. Truth is, I've seen men maimed, crippled, and killed out there. The river is dangerous, the boats are dangerous, and even some of the people are dangerous. I'd like to take you back to 1866, my first trip up the Missouri with Captain Grant Marsh, a new 170-foot mountain boat called the Luella. From mid-June to the beginning of September, we hauled local freight in the Fort Benton stretch of the river. When we finally left for St. Louis, we had aboard 230 gold miners coming back from the mountains. Well, wouldn't you know, one of these fellas was a real bully. A fella named Gilmore. He was always swaggering about and boasting. One evening at supper, he started a shouting and shoving match with another passenger over some minor matter. Captain Marsh threatened to put him ashore, right out in the middle of the prairie, see if he can push the Indians around. So Gilmore, he swallows his resentment and quiets down for a while. But later, word got back to the captain that Gilmore had been threatening to kill him. A couple of us insisted to the captain that he start carrying a revolver. Well, it was a little below Fort Randall that we tied up to the bank to wait out a headwind and cut some firewood. Gilmore and his few rowdy followers had drawn a mark on the ground and were having a broad jumping contest. Captain walks past the woodcutting crew. Gilmore waves a revolver and says, "Watch me make that low-down dog of a captain jump the mark." Now, the captain had been pretty much ignoring Gilmore's renewed swaggers, but that was more than he would stand. Captain Marsh drew his borrowed revolver, walked over to Gilmore, looked him square in the eyes, and said, "Gilmore, I heard that, and the time's come for us to have a settlement. Come over here and fight." And he pointed to a clearing with room for a shootout. Well, Gilmore, he turned pale, and he started to shake. Captain Marsh stepped right up to him, slapped him full in the face. He says, "Now will you fight, you coward?" And Gilmore just whimpers and says, "I didn't mean anything. I don't want to fight." Well, Captain was madder than I've ever seen him before or since. He said, "If you won't fight, I'll kill you right here on the spot." Well, this was the time that some of us decided we needed to interfere. And Mr. Payne, who had loaned Marsh the revolver, put a hand on the captain's shoulder and says, "Don't kill a coward. You just dirty your hands and be a waste of powder and lead." So, Captain controlled himself and let Gilmore slink off. But it still wasn't over. Not until we reached Sioux City. Captain Marsh came into the saloon where a number of us were seeking refreshment and entertainment. Captain ordered a round of drinks and invited everybody to join him. That's the way Captain Marsh is. Well, everyone steps up to the bar, accepted his offer, except Gilmore. He just sat at the back of his room, sulking, looking sour. Well, the captain felt Gilmore had suffered enough and called out to him, "Come on up, Gilmore, drink with me." Well, Gilmore, he just leaned back in his chair, crossed his arms, and said, "No, sir, I won't drink with you." Well, Captain did not appreciate this rejection of his gesture of goodwill. He picked up a big heavy glass beer mug, stepped toward Gilmore, and roared, "Gilmore, you come up here and drink, or by the eternal, I'll break this glass over your skull." Well, the crowd is jeering, and Gilmore, once again, he has to swallow all his brag and bravado. He slinks up to the bar and he drinks with the man that he could not intimidate. And later that night, he begged the captain not to put him off the boat. Captain agreed, but Gilmore left us at Omaha, even though he had booked and paid his passage all the way to St. Louis. Of course, no one aboard was sorry to see him go, and none of us ever saw him again. Just goes to show you, of all the characters one meets up with on the river, some of them are not what they seem. Just like the river itself, making ripples to think you there's a snag below, when it's really just bluffing. You have to figure out what's real and what's just meant to make a fool of you. And that is a fact of life on the Missouri. Thanks for listening.